White Rocket Entertainment.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition, 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear to the top.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, and now to White Rocket TV, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and this week I'm again joined by John Ringer, my occasional co-host on this show and my always co-host on the AU Wishbone Show, and we're going to pick up with part two of our discussion, our comparison, and our debate about ranking the best James Bond movie opening action sequences. If you didn't catch the previous episode, we started with what each of us thought was the 24th ranked out of the 24 Eon-produced James Bond films in terms of how much we enjoyed the opening action sequence, you know, right before the opening credits. And we did roughly the first half, which means the lower half. In this episode, we pick up about halfway through, and we will go all the way down to what we each consider to be our favorite of the James Bond opening action sequences. So without further ado, here is John Ringer and myself, Van Allen Plexico, as we continue our discussion of the best of the James Bond opening action sequences. Enjoy! All right, let's see. I'm going to keep... You keep going first through this group, and then I'll switch back to the next two. Right. So what do you have? This be 13, 14, 15, 16.
All right. So next for me is On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which you've already talked about.
I'm not doing the number right. Let's see.
Don't worry about it. We know where we are. Keep going.
No, I think this is like number 12 or something. I don't know.
We're number 11 is what it was. So On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
On Her Majesty's Service. Mine right now is From Russia With Love.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
Yeah, it's iconic and it's classic enough to be this high. But like you said, it doesn't actually have James Bond in it.
Yes.
It's a guy in a mask. So there's good things about it. There's bad things about it. It does have Red Grant being bad, which is cool. It's all right. You know, it's very brief, too. So we'll talk
also
more about
like, it. And again, it's two spots ahead for me. So let's go ahead and talk about it.
Okay.
They're in a maze. Bond's looking over his shoulder. There's some kind of whippoorwill kind of bird sound. And then the guy strangles him, Red Grant, and that's it. So,
yeah, and then the Spectre guys come out and turn the lights on and everything, and that's about it. Did it appear to you, if you think back now, think about that scene where that takes place. Is that not the exact same place where they film part of Goldfinger? When Oddjob cuts the statue's head off with his hat?
That was the front of the golf club in Goldfinger.
Yeah, but it looked
Could have been the same house we just talked about it where the funeral fight took place. So
could have been. Could, yeah. Well, they may have just kept going back to the same, you know, nearby location. So, okay. My next one up, and we're in the top 11 or 12 now. My next one up is Tomorrow Never Dies. This is one of my sentimental favorites because I love
Pierce Brosnan the best, and I love of all the Bond girls, my favorite Bond girl is Michelle Yeoh, but she's not in the sequence. But what I like about this sequence is it's one of the best boat chases in the whole thing. I mean, you know, there's several things you get in Bond movies. You get a train fight, or you get a boat chase, you get a car chase, or you get a foot chase, you know, something like that. And in this to me is even better than the boat chase in From Russia with Love or the boat chase in Moonraker.
Oh, bite your tongue. The boat chase in Moonraker is the best.
Except when Jaws goes – except when Jaws – wait, let me find a steering wheel. Here, I'll use this steering wheel. Except when Jaws goes – splash. Except for that part. But yeah, I just love the I'm thinking about the boat chase. We're not to the boat chase. No, I'm just like Pierce Brosnan. I get these two mixed up. He says he gets them mixed up. I'm thinking about The World Is Not Enough. I always get those two mixed up. No, Tomorrow Never Dies is the weapons bazaar and Gupta
and the plane. Yes.
Right. And I didn't really say much about it other than Gupta. So I'll just say this. I like the whole business in the arms bazaar. I like when Bond is surrounded by a bunch of scary dudes and he's like incognito. And then I like the sort of Firefox-esque jet duel. I thought that was a neat thing I hadn't seen Bond do before. So I have this one pretty high up because I just thought it was a neat idea and I like the jet battle a whole lot. So, okay, what's next up for you?
Diamonds Are Forever. You've already talked about this, the plastic surgery fight against Blofeld, the revenge thing. I mean, I liked it better than you did, obviously, but it's not great. So, but it's still Bond's in it. There's a fight against Blofeld. He has a good line. And there's one part where Bond is like throwing scalpels at one of the guys. Anyhow, I liked it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I say, anything with Sean Connery back then is better than. Is got a good shot at being at least entertaining. So, my next one up is
Let me go back one more thing. Before the scene in the spa in Diamonds Are Forever, the prelude to that is Bond runs around and beats the crud out of a bunch of people and goes, "Where's Blofeld?" And he does that to about five or six people to get to the spa, which I liked again because it's a revenge thing.
All right, I got to give that credit for one thing. I'd forgotten about this, and I just watched it a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, it's got that great moment when he's doing what you're saying. He's going around beating people up, and they're playing poker. No, they're playing blackjack, mm-hmm. And the guy goes, "Hit me," and Sean Connery goes, "Bam." That's almost a Roger Moore bit in a Sean Connery movie. How about that? Okay, that's a good point. That is a very good point. That gives it some extra bonus points for me. I like that. Die Another Day next for me, just because I like the idea of Bond and the DMZ with the North Koreans. I totally agree with you that the movie is crap, but I just liked seeing A, Pierce Brosnan, and B, in an interesting situation that I'd never seen Bond in before. So I thought that was a pretty cool bit. And he doesn't get loose at the end of it either. He's still being captured. He's still captured, you know, being tortured. Okay.
Next for me is From Russia with Love. You've already talked about it. We've already talked through this. The practice fight scene where a guy in a Bond mask gets strangled. So.
Yeah. Good old Red Grant. Later to fight Jaws. Hey, think about that. Red Grant later fights Jaws. But not in the James Bond movie, in Jaws.
Oh.
How about that? Nobody's ever mentioned that. What? Okay, and my last one to close out the third group, which means there's only eight left after this. My last one in the third group is Thunderball. And yeah, we talked about what it's about, but I just love it. I love the whole thing where he punches the grieving widow. I think that's awesome. And I love the drawn out fight across the house you're talking about. I think that's really cool. And then you cannot beat putting on a jetpack, gets an actual jetpack and flying like 100 feet to get in the car and shoot the oil slick.
Jetpack in the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's so neat that it has absolutely nothing to do really with the rest of the movie. It's just this neat little mini James Bond movie where he beats up a guy in drag and flies a jetpack. That makes it a top 10 for me right there.
It was entirely an excuse for them to just show him playing with the jetpack.
Absolutely. They got a jetpack and they said, all right, he uses it to escape from what? And they wrote the whole rest of the scene around that.
That's it.
Absolutely. That's got to be it. Okay. All right. We're in the top eight. We're in the top eight. Here we go. We're going to flip back around again, and I think I'll go first now. So let me see. Number eight for me is Goldfinger. And it's the whole rest of the movie is so iconic that we kind of forget the opening sequence of Goldfinger. But it's another one of these little neat movies where they try to copy the same thing with Thunderball. It's Bond. I believe it's one where Bond has a duck on his head. He's underwater.
Comes in scuba gear with a duck on his head.
He takes the scuba gear off, and he's got a tuxedo under it. Oh, that's just iconic, right? Goes in, romances the dancer girl, and then fights with the guy who lands in the bathtub. And then he throws the electric fan in the bathtub. And what does he – do you remember?
This is like shocking.
Shocking. Yes, that's great. See, Sean Connery could do that. This is the thing. Sean Connery could do those little lines. And it was funny because it was Sean Connery and he's so serious. When Roger Moore does it, it's goofy but lovable but goofy. And when Daniel Craig does it, it's just like – what?
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's like
forcing it.
Yeah. Daniel Craig is a robot. So when he does anything that's supposed to be funny, you're just like, did he malfunction? Did his hard drive skip? Why did he say that? You know, so.
But this is a couple, I'm right there with you. It's a couple spots ahead on my list, but it's, you know, he really doesn't do a whole lot. He swims up, he sneaks around, he plants a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he like takes the wetsuit off. He's got a tuxedo under it, of course, and he puts a flower in his on his collar. And then he walks in, and the bomb goes off, and everybody else is like, ah. And he's like, okay, now I can go talk to this girl.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts about it is he comes striding in his suit, and as the bomb's going off, everybody's running and screaming. He's just like cruising on down the stairs. Yeah, but that's Sean Connery. See, that's something that I think, you know. That really makes James Bond when he's cool as a cucumber when everybody else is freaking out. You know, that's Bond. And most of the actors have been very good at that, I think. Okay, so what do you have for number eight?
Quantum of Solace.
The car chase.
Yes. Oh, the car chase that picks up the minute the other movie ends, basically. And it's a great scene. It's well done. It's a really good car chase. But it is just a car chase with regular cars. And, you know, they end up driving to a quarry and stuff. But so it was really good, but I don't think it's as good as the stuff I have above it.
It's rugged. It's violent. It's just like everything in the Daniel Craig movies, it takes something that could be okay and makes it really hardcore, violent, rough. The camera's shaking, there's grit flying by, and Daniel Craig does the bit where I love the thing that Daniel Craig does where he's always like, and those that are watching on the TV channel, you'll see kind of what I'm trying to do here. I'll try to describe it for the podcast. He's just as steely-eyed like this, right? He's just driving, and like a hail of bullets will go by his ear. And Craig will be like this. You know, he just moves his head about an inch like a mosquito bothered me instead of a hail of bullets. You know, he's so cool as a cucumber that he just twitches his head like, what was that? You know, when all these bullets go by. That is so Daniel Craig. And it's one thing I do appreciate about him. Yeah, I have that one coming up too. Number seven for me, I actually have an audio bit. I have two audio bits. These are very short, but here's my number seven. See if you remember it.
Who's ever gonna die?
Yours.
I love, he says, whose funeral is it? Yours, shunk. Ugh. The guy goes, ugh. All right, so that's my number seven, Live and Let Die. You got the death by headphone, which is kind of weird in the UN, but you've also got that great New Orleans funeral, which I just think is awesome.
It's a little bit higher on my list.
Yeah, there we go. It is a great, I mean, it is absolutely iconic. Absolutely iconic. What do you have for number seven?
I have Spectre.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. You finally got to see it.
Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago. I really enjoyed it. I mean, in the opening scene is very good. We haven't got to talk about it. The opening scene is very good. This is the Day of the Dead in Mexico City, and he meets a girl, and they're in costume, and they go up to her room, and he runs out the window, and goes to assassinate another guy, and the building blows up, and he gets away, and then they get in a helicopter fight, and they're flying over the crowd like they're going to kill them all. So,
I'll wait.
Okay,
we haven't gotten there yet for me, but we do need to talk about Spectre sometime because I want to know. Did you like, just real quick, did you like me feel like the final act was the weakest part of the movie?
Yes.
I felt like everything that happened after he was strapped in the chair with the little drills was not as good as everything that happened right up until then.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about
it. He got away too easily from there.
Yes. Yes.
And then everything after that was like, I know you don't love Skyfall, but the ending of Skyfall where they're in the house and stuff was better than the ending of Spectre.
Don't make me admit that. Don't okay. make me admit that.
I won't make you admit that. Keep going.
But yeah, I just didn't understand how Blofeld was the uber super genius of all time. Apparently through every Daniel Craig movie, until three quarters of the way through this one, when suddenly he becomes just like an idiot and lets Bond shoot his helicopter down and stuff. But yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to talk.
With a pistol from a boot.
Right. So that happens.
Okay, that was the greatest pistol shot in the history of world civilization. I'm just going to tell you.
Absolutely. But it is James Bond. So if anybody could. All right. My number six is the other one that I was able to. I just ran down here about a half an hour this afternoon and found two audio clips for two of them that I knew I liked. They had particularly memorable little audio clips. So here is my number six audio clip. And you can tell me which movie this is. I have to click it here.
But James, I need you.
So does England.
That's my number six. Do I have it too low?
No, it's next on my list also. That's The Spy Who Loved Me.
Spy Who Loved Me, iconic line, so does England. Then he goes out, he skis down the mountainside, the guys are chasing him, and I mean, most people would probably object and say this should be in the top three, yes. Probably, and I get that, but the ones I have ahead of it.
It's in the top 10.
It's in the top six for me, yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, so
it goes off the cliff, and I timed it when I was doing that audio clip. I was able to look on my Audacity board at how much silence there was before you hear the parachute open. It was at least 20 seconds.
Wow.
And 20 seconds in a movie when nothing is happening but the guy is falling is a long time. 20 seconds is a long time in a movie for there to be dead silence and a guy just falling off a cliff. Not 5 seconds, not 10 seconds, not 15, 20 seconds. That must have been that's like Mount Everest. They must have been out there making out in a cabin on Mount Everest. That's all I know. Because it took a long time.
Wow.
Man. So, yeah, 20 seconds. All right.
No, I had that one next because it's such a great scene. I love that one.
Yeah, it really is. And it sets up the movie. That's the thing. I like when they both are really good little mini movies, but they also set up the movie too, when they're able to do both seamlessly. That's always good. Okay. So what'd you have for number six?
Goldfinger.
Okay. Right.
We already talked about that.
Shocking. Shocking.
I just thought it was very classy, Sean Connery. Yeah.
All right. My number five to finish out the second group, and we'll get into the big four. My number five really was one of my favorites for a long time, even more than The Spy Who Loved Me. And I don't have an audio clip, but I'll tell you, one of the first things you hear on it is, well, first there's kind of a separate scene, and then you got Roger Moore, and you hear, and the woman says, "Any higher, Mr. Bond, and my ears will pop." Does that ring a bell?
Yes, it's
and then the dude
Moonraker.
Moonraker, yeah, dude, the leather helmet comes out with the gun.
The pilot, they're in an airplane. The pilot, she's a stewardess. The pilot comes out.
What I don't understand is that this is not even the first Bond movie where the bad guys try to kill him by getting him on a plane and then jumping out of it and leaving him on the plane. Why do the bad guys think that the best way to kill him, you've got a gun, okay? You're holding a gun in your hand. And you think, you know, I've got this nice Learjet, I've got a gun, and there's Bond helpless in front of me. You know what the most efficient way to kill Bond would be? To jump out of my $1 million Learjet and let it crash with Bond on board.
No. That wasn't the plan. The plan was they disabled the jet, they jump off, and then Jaws comes out of the back and kills him, and then Jaws jumps out of the plane, and the plane crashes, and it looks like an accident.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
No, of course not.
Well, anyway, but what's so great about it, though, is the parachute sequence. I mean, they filmed, hour upon hour of parachute jumps to get to this. And, I mean, when I saw it as a kid, Bond goes out of the plane without a parachute. I'm thinking, I was much more afraid for Bond in that one than I was when he went off the ski jump, because there he's still on the ground. I mean, he's still going to die, but you know, this is out of an airplane without a parachute. Yes. I'm thinking Bond can't fly, right? He's not Superman. So I don't know how he's going to do this. And I love that he kind of angles and comes down on the other guy, gets him, takes his parachute away and kicks him away. And the other guy's like, ah! That's not what he expected his day to end like, you know? And then Jaws comes down at him, and they fight and everything. And do you remember what – then we get another classic. We get this all the way through Moonraker, where Jaws pulls the ripcord, and you get this.
Well, and then he actually makes, like, bird flapping with his arms.
And you get the classic Roger Moore Bond. La, 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 la. He's flapping, and you just want to strangle whoever put that music in there. And then how does Jaws finally come to Earth?
He hits a circus tent.
A circus tent. Yeah, because that could happen. That's very likely. And then you get a whole beginning to Moonraker with, like, acrobats and stuff, which is really weird. Okay. But I still love it. It's an amazing stunt sequence.
It is a great scene, and I haven't gotten to it on my rankings yet either.
It makes me feel even better. You haven't even gotten to it. All right. What is your number five?
GoldenEye.
Wow. Okay. So GoldenEye, let's talk about GoldenEye a little bit. You notice I haven't mentioned it yet either.
You haven't either. And it is the highest of these for me. It's Brosnan, right?
Right.
And he does the bungee jump off a dam. Mm-hmm. And then they have the explosions and stuff, and Bond goes over a cliff on a motorcycle. Really one of the best stunts in any Bond movie. A plane is on a runway on a mountaintop, and it goes off, and Bond's already killed the pilot. Bond chases the plane off on a motorcycle. He's falling, the plane's falling. He falls down, gets in the plane, flies the plane away. It really is an amazing stunt.
It's amazing, right? It's another one of these mountains that must be the size of Mount Everest.
Well, and who builds a runway there? I'm like,
the Russians, apparently. It also has that great bit where he and Sean Bean as 006 are inside with General Urumov, you know, and they're hiding behind the explosive barrels, you know, mm-hmm. and all the Soviet troops have got machine guns, and so they're like, pushing the little barrels in front of them as they walk, you know, and then see that sets up the rest of the movie, because that's where 006 becomes Janice or whatever. You know, he's got like 15 names in that movie, but Sean Bean, right?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. That's a great, great opening sequence. So now I have a little bit more to say about it. So now we're in the top four, the final four. Let's see. Who goes first? You want to go first? Or want me to go first? All right. What's your number four?
Skyfall.
Skyfall. Okay. So the Skyfall beginning. Remind me again. We just talked about it, but I'm.
Skyfall begins with the Istanbul.
Moneypenny shooting on the train. Right. Yeah.
But I mean, he the whole scene where, again, he chases the guy across the roof of the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul on motorcycles. Then they're on the train. He's fighting on the train. And then the scene where Bond gets in like the backhoe and attacks the train car. And then he runs up the neck of the backhoe and jumps into the car and then does that thing where he kind of straightens his jacket like, yeah, I'm good. And then he goes on and keeps fighting the guy. And then Moneypenny shoots him.
Right. No, it is a good sequence. I admit it probably should be higher than I have it ranked. It is pretty cool. I give it that. My number four is The World Is Not Enough. And I'm going to get it right this time. This is where the explosive on the money causes a big explosion in MI6. Bond jumps in Q's little fishing boat, which is actually like a high-powered little black speedboat. And there's that boat chase along the Thames in front of Parliament and everything. The girl gets on the hot air balloon. Bond jumps up on the hot air balloons, hanging from the rope. And then she blows up the balloon and he falls onto the Millennium Dome. It may be the longest single opening sequence of all of them, because you have to have all the setup with the money inside MI6. And then you have the whole boat chase and then the balloon thing. It's like a 12 minute long opening scene, but it's so good. I just love it. Yeah. And I just love that boat chase. I love the little black boat. It's great. And Brosnan really sells it. So that's my number four. All right. What's your number three?
Moonraker,
the parachutes.
We talked about it. I just really like the parachute scene with Jaws. Growing up, seeing Bond movies at the time, I just thought that was so amazing.
Yeah. Well, I love Moonraker top to bottom. I it's always been one of my guilty pleasures. I like it more than most of them. So my number three is Spectre. And you summed it up very well a minute ago, but I'll just add that whole opening scene with the Day of the Dead parade and the hotel room and everything was like one long uninterrupted shot. Now, I think they've said that they had to use a couple of electronic tricks, a couple of CGI tricks to make it work. But if you go back and watch Spectre from the very beginning, when it says the dead are alive or whatever, you know, and then it kind of goes from there. From that moment until way after the place blows up is one long shot. There's no break. It's one long shot, and the camera just follows them walking along. He's got the skull mask on and everything, and they go into the building and up, and you see all the floats and everything. And the thing, too, is they staged that whole thing. I mean, it looks like that event was going on, and they just happened to come by and film it, but they create all the floats. They create all the costumes. That's one of the reasons that Spectre cost $80 bajillion.
A lot of extras.
Oh, it's a lot of extras. They put everybody in these costumes that – When I was watching Spectre the first time, I thought, these are a bunch of fairly not so well off economically people in inner city Mexico City. Where did they get these costumes and makeup? You know, it doesn't look like what people would cobble together for a holiday, you know, a holiday parade. It looks like MGM, United Artists, Sony all came down there and said, we're going to fix everybody up like your characters in a movie, you know. So it looks amazing. It's got great action. It's got the great bit where Bond jumps. The building is collapsing under him as he's traveling to get on the bricks and everything. I love when he shoots the room and the thing blows up and he's shocked. He's like, like, what did I just do? So, yeah, I love the beginning of Spectre. I think that Spectre really is an example of a movie that starts great and kind of tails off the further it goes. But it is a great beginning. Let's see. What's your number three?
I just did my number three. Moonraker.
Oh, you went first. Right. What's your number two? I'm sorry.
For Your Eyes Only. I know this is way down your list.
Wow. No wonder you're so surprised. It was my last.
I know it was the bottom for you, but I just always liked that scene because it's him and Blofeld, and it's just the two of them. And, you know, he's at the grave. He's putting flowers in the grave, and the priest comes out and says that they're sending a helicopter for you. He gets in the helicopter. As he's flying away, the priest does the sign of the cross for him. And Bond's
That's like, my favorite part. That's my favorite part of the whole thing is when he looks over and sees the priest, and the priest is, like, doing the cross at him. And you can just see Roger Moore's wheels turning like, well, what did that mean?
That's not good. And then also, I just love, like, the you know, the idea that, again, you're trying to kill him. He flies. He has him in the remote control helicopter for like 5 minutes. He could just fly around in the building. It's over. Bond is dead. Instead, he flies around in circles and taunts him. Bond's climbing out the window, and he doesn't just fly into a building. He just taunts him and flies it around. And then eventually Bond takes it over, and it's like, well, dummy, you waited too long.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
But it's got a lot of the cat in it. And what did you think? We didn't talk about this in Spectre. What did you think about the moment in Spectre where they show the cat?
Oh, I've been waiting to talk about that with you forever. Yes. Oh, I was so excited because I knew Mira would be excited. And so when the cat came out, I was just like, yes, it's Blofeld with the cat. And then when Mira finally got to watch, I had to fast forward, obviously, through some stuff with Mira, But you know, she just loves James Bond so much that she watches the parts she can watch. And so I made sure to say, Mira, watch right here. And the cat came out. And Mira's like, evil Spectre kitty. She was so excited. She loved the cat. She's a good cat. So that was great. That was great. Remember, I told you, I said it goes up a letter grade just if it has the cat in it.
It's true.
Yeah.
When that happened, I had to stop it. My daughter was watching it with me, and she had not seen all the older Spectre movies, and she didn't get the cat. And I was like, the cat means something here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of Spectre, if you go back and watch it, almost everything that happens in that movie is a callback to one of the other 23 movies. That's neat, but it's why I've said I'm glad that I'm assuming they're not going to use, and I blank out on his name, but they're not going to use this director anymore, Mendez.
Yeah,
because he just keeps making homages rather than actual original movies. And I mean, I know there's a lot about Spectre that's original and that's great, but I could have used it being its own thing and not like Skyfall kept saying, oh, and look, here he looks like he did in Live and Let Die. Oh, and look, here's a bit from You Only Live Twice. And oh, hey, look, here's a bit from that other movie that you saw, right, that you've seen 50 times. So the Easter eggs, I'm just like, I get it. Let's do something new now. Let's stop calling back to the last 50 years of history and move forward. But I did love seeing the cat. Love seeing the cat. That made me very happy. Number two, did you do your number two?
That was my number two.
Okay. My number two is Quantum of Solace. I love that car chase. And then after that car chase, go into Italy. And they go into the MI6 headquarters there, and they start to interrogate Mr. White. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're everywhere. I love Mr. White. I've loved him in all three movies he's been in because he's just a jackass. You know, you and I talked about this before. Mr. White's job is to tell Bond or M or somebody in MI6, you don't know anything, right? In Spectre, he said, you're a kite dancing in a hurricane, Mr. Bond, right? He gets to taunt Bond in all three movies that he's in before he dies, and I love it. I love it. I love Mr. White. He's one of my favorite villains ever, even though he's not really a major villain. He's kind of like a second banana in every one of them, but anyway. So I love that they – and then he breaks loose because M's own security guards turn on her, you know, and work on him, which is Spectre. So, yeah. So I really like that one a lot. That's my number two. All right. What's your number one?
Live and Let Die. I love the funeral. I love the New Orleans funeral. I think that's such a great scene. And, again, there's no Bond in the opening.
That's true. So, I was about to say.
I should have probably knocked it down a couple of notches for that and put, you know, Moonraker For Your Eyes Only and even Skyfall ahead of it. But I just love – I think that funeral scene is so great that I kept it there.
The funeral scene is so iconic. It's so memorable. When I was a kid, it was just you know, it was haunting. It just, it's because it's both exciting and exotic, but also kind of scary. You know, that movie, I've said this before, of all the Bond movies, like Diamonds Are Forever, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, Diamonds Are Forever, this one's exciting. When Live and Let Die came out, I'm like, oh, this is the scary one, you know?
Oh, it's the scariest by far.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And my number one, those many of you have figured it out by now if you've been keeping track. My number one is GoldenEye. And we talked about it already, but the reason I have it number one is it has that spectacular bungee jump off the dam, but you never see Pierce Brosnan's face. This is the movie that introduces Pierce Brosnan, my favorite Bond. And so you'd never see his face. He goes off the bungee thing. He uses the little zzz to get down. He goes inside the Soviet complex. He comes down through the ceiling of the bathroom. And when the first time you see Pierce Brosnan's Bond, he's hanging upside down in the bathroom, which is kind of an interesting way to meet him, right? And he punches the guy and then climbs down and changes the uniform and everything. And then there's that whole, like I said, the whole great bit with 006 with General Urimov and the guys with the machine guns. And then, like you described, the whole chasing the plane off the cliff with the motorcycle, and they're both going down, and he gets on board the plane, and you see, you know, and it flies up. That was really, really cool. So I really debated a lot over how to rank these. And I didn't, you know, going in, I didn't know that one was going to be number one. In fact, I really didn't know how they were going to play out. I kind of thought Moonraker and Spy Who Loved Me would be in the top four. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that they were not. But I think I could defend any of these top four: GoldenEye, Quantum of Solace, Spectre. I was blown away by that opening. And then I love the boat chasing world is not enough. So did you surprise yourself with any of them? We'll wrap up here in just a second, but did you surprise yourself with any of them?
When I went back and watched them all again, like, some of them surprised me how much I liked the Spy Who Loved Me, the ski chase and that, how much I like that. And then in GoldenEye, the bit with the plane and I, you know, you remember the Sean Bean parts because it's part of the plot, but the bit with the plane and the motorcycle I'd forgotten. And then some of the other ones, I mean, you know, the earlier ones, Thunderball and Dr. No and those kind of things. I mean, but I, you know, the one that really surprised me, I think when you watch them all, the action in the Daniel Craig ones is so good. I mean, yeah, they really, really, really grab you. And I think that's, you talked about Quantum of Solace. You talk about a movie that starts at 100 miles an hour. There's no ease into it. There's no, we're going to build it up for you. That's a movie. It's a little bit like The Two Towers in that way. Because it's the second in the series, and it picks up the minute where the other one left off in some ways, and it just goes, and it just takes off. The first movie had to do a bunch of build-up. This one doesn't. It could just go, and I really like that about Quantum of Solace.
I think that originally they were not planning on it being such of a direct sequel, and I think in the rewrites, I remember reading this or hearing it somewhere, that in the rewrites – they said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we add this from Casino? Why don't we add this? Why don't we make it Mr. White, the trunk? You know, they kept adding things to make it more and more. And I think Daniel Craig actually pushed for that too, to kind of pick up that story. That's why we've talked about before that as much as most of Quantum of Solace is not a great Bond movie, there are, you know, the car chase is great and the opera sequence is great. And if you watch it back to back with Casino Royale and just kind of get through the Latin American dictator part as fast as you can, and just think of it as the rest of the Casino Royale story, it works so much better.
Yes.
It works so much better as the rest of the of Vesper's story as opposed to the
stuff. So. Kind of epilogue to Casino Royale.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, those of you that are watching this or will be watching this on YouTube, you will see about an hour and 18-minute episode, and that's cool. But I believe for purposes of the podcast, I'm going to break it in half. So in post-production, I'm going to break this in half and have like two 45-minute episodes. So we'll be that much closer to episode 100. So, John, I appreciate you coming on tonight. As always, we had a lot of fun, I think. Do you have fun?
It was good. It was entertaining discussion, as always.
As always. That's right. So, okie doke. Well, the Rocket's going to get on out of here. This was episode 90 and or 91, depending on which part you're listening to. And John and I will think of some other interesting conversation to regale you with in upcoming episodes. Otherwise, we will see you guys down the road. Take it easy, John. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.